This is episode 17 of the North Fulton Drama Club podcast. This is the third cast podcast for A Midsummer Night's Dream. In this episode, we'll hear from Olivia Harlow, Katie Harlow, and Cece Dubois.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skull Crusher Mountain. I hope that you've enjoyed your stay.
So, you go ahead and say your name.
Hi, I'm Olivia Harlow.
And who are you playing in the show?
And I'm playing Moth.
And what is Moth?
Moth is a fairy.
Okay. So this is the first show you've done with us.
Yes.
Have you been having a good time?
Yeah. I like doing theater outdoors. It's fun.
Is this the first time you've done theater outdoors?
No, but before I disliked it.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Glad we're an improvement.
Yeah, I did something up in, Cobb, I think. And we were doing Wizard of Oz, and musicals really aren't my thing, so... Yeah, I don't know, that might have been it. It was too hot, it was during the middle of the summertime, and Georgia's not fun in the middle of the summertime in, like, really heavy costuming and makeup and changing, and it was not really...
Been there, done that. It stunk.
But right now is good for outdoor theater. It's all green and nice looking.
It is.
It's one of the reasons we do it this time of year. Not too hot, not too cold, it might rain, but at least stuff isn't dead, you know. It works out.
So is this the first Shakespeare you've ever been in?
No, I don't remember. I'm not entirely sure what my first Shakespeare was, but for the past 2 years I've been participating in a program at the Shakespeare Tavern. They call it SIT. It's Shakespeare Intensive Training, and it's for 3 weeks, and we get together, we audition first. We can't get in unless we've proven that we're not dumb idiot people. I don't know. And then they just, for 3 weeks, it's just intensive training until, you know, you can get the final product on stage. And it's fun. I mean, I don't know if the plays are any good or not, but, you know, I mean, it's fun to do. Yep.
Cool. Now, did you think it was sort of weird what we're doing, or did you get into the different setting and stuff that we were doing?
Well, with the fairies, they're not particularly, like... I'm not sure if I had been playing a different part. I don't know, maybe the weird change of time would have affected me more, but with the fairies, they're kind of outside of time anyways, so it's not like I felt off-put by saying Shakespearean words while in a fairy costume, because fairy costumes, I mean, they pretty much stay the same. Yeah, I think they would have been just as crazy looking in Shakespeare's time.
Cool. Well, is there anything you've learned from this role, this play, that you're going to take away, do you think?
Oh, well, that's learning.
It's educational.
That's what we're telling your teachers.
It's beginning to sound like school again. I suppose I really haven't really thought about it that way. It's more been, you know, fun experience. I don't really think about what I'm learning or anything. I mean, I'm sure I've learned something.
You've learned how to have fun.
Got school behind.
Not to be scared of pins.
Oh, yes, there we go. No, I didn't learn, like, not to be scared of pins, so I guess, no. But I found a red rock.
That is exciting.
I think that might be a fragment of a brick. I hate to disappoint.
I'm going to pretend it's a red rock.
Okay.
Well, what was your favorite part? What has your favorite part been of doing this show?
Favorite part? The performance. Right? Naturally, I mean, I'm not a rehearsal person. I don't think anyone really is. Rehearsals are long and boring. And they were a lot shorter. That's one of the things I noticed. They're a lot shorter with this company. I mean, they're nice. It's nice. It's not so, I don't know, intensive training. Although I'm not going to say that was horrible either. But yeah, nothing can compare to a performance. Performing in front of a live audience, I mean, that's why everyone does theater, right? I mean, it's amazing. Cool. So yeah, that's my favorite part.
Awesome.
Well, cool. We're not going to have you for much longer, just this weekend, and then you're going to be going to Governor's Honors. I think you're a comm arts major?
No, I'm a drama major.
You're a drama major, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else Claire was a French major. I thought someone was saying they were a com arts major, but maybe that's just harkening back to my day. Anyway, so are you looking forward to that?
Yes, a lot. When I was little, I never went away to, you know, camps without my parents being, you know, able to get me back at the end of the day and stuff like that. And I think I would be a little bit more afraid of going because of that, because I haven't had much experience being away from my family. But with Bat Boy, we actually took it to Vidalia, like the onions, Vidalia in Georgia, and I realized, hey, I actually kind of like being away from my family, as mean as that sounds. So I think I'm actually gonna enjoy it. It makes me feel a little bit more independent. I think I'm gonna be confident, or you know, scared out of my mind, whichever one. And, it's supposedly a life-changing experience, and with all the auditioning, there's got to be some good people there, and that's always the best part, besides for performing in front of an audience.
Well, it'll be good prep for college.
Oh, yeah, that too, but I don't want to think about college. My whole year's been about college.
Well, in any case, it's been lovely having you.
Yeah.
We hope you have a good summer.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm Katie Harlow, and I play Starveling / Moon. So, that's my official title.
Starveling, who is one of the...
Oh, Starveling, I'm a tinker, and what I'm really supposed to do as a tinker is, I am a tailor, and in real life I know nothing about sewing, so they had to teach me how to do the thing with the tape measure and everything. I know nothing about it, so it's fabulous.
So it's been a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
You have a theme.
Like the time I had to learn to do hair, and still magnolias, and I'm not good at that either, so.
It's acting.
I know.
It's theater.
I'm going to be a cop in my next show. That'd be great.
Well, I hope the truncheon training goes well.
Yeah.
Learning how to use the nightstick.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a ninja tool. On the top, it's a moon. On the bottom, it's a... What is it?
Thornbush.
I almost called it a thistle, but
it
that's
really
my
is
line
like
is
very ninja-like. This tool that we've given you.
It's for ninja school. Watch it. Okay, this is on the internet, so you guys know what that is.
She's gesturing in her hands like she's holding a stick,
like a bow stick.
Yeah.
It's like a teenage mutant ninja turtle. Like
yeah.
Ah. Which was the one
or
with the stick?
Avatar, or my kids are addicted to this. Naruto.
Oh,
I could be one
yeah.
of the Naruto people.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay.
It's really sad that I know
make me a hat.
That stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll totally make you a hat. We've actually commented several times that I think that is the craziest prop we've ever had.
Seriously. Every
it
time.
It's balls,
like,
too.
Yeah.
Another scary thing.
We have.
Yeah.
We'll stand out back to watch 5-1 every night because I never get tired of watching that scene. And I like every time when you flip it from the moon
I love
to the thorn bush.
Mm-hmm. And when I discovered that, I was like, yes.
I would crack up every single time. Probably because it's the way you do it, too. It's very like flowy, and then you're like, moon, whoosh, 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 thorn bush. Like, it's great. It's really great.
Well, my props to the prop people because they totally, you guys came up with it. So,
well,
and
Thomas wanted the styrofoam thing, and I
we
wanted
were both
the...
very skeptical. Very skeptical.
I was going to ask, this way too, because in my brain I was thinking of this, but does my ball glow in the dark? I'm going to ask that.
Isn't it glow in the dark?
It
is glow in dark paint.
The light gets to it.
But there's so much light on it that I don't really.
I guess what we'd have to do is like you'd have to take it backstage after you've been on stage and like take it behind the EDS and see if it glows. So you will actually have to discover that and report back.
Well, I think it might. It might glow a little bit.
Have a little
luminescence. But I wondered how much of a glow the audience might see from it.
It just basically looks like a tennis ball.
Oh, that's good. It does look like a tennis ball.
It's kind of sparkly.
Mm-hmm. It is very, it does. It looks like a moon. Like when you say this is the moon, you're like, it is indeed a moon.
The styrofoam makes it have the craters.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
It's good.
I can't see that, but I, you know.
Yeah. It works out.
And nobody's played with it, which at first I was nervous that people would play with it. But nobody's played with it, but, you know, because the styrofoam can make
can be dented.
Oh, yeah. Crannies in there really easily, so.
Yeah. Well, that's good. This has actually been a good show for people not messing with other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Typically, that's a problem.
That's great. So. A lot of times I'm with kids backstage, so I don't have that atmosphere in this show. The last show I did was A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
So, which the kids were well-behaved for the most part, but they were still kids.
They're still kids.
Yeah.
They're going
to
be kids.
It's totally different. You have to have a child wrangler.
Yes.
I never want to be a child wrangler. That's my real life. I came here to play. Anyway, you know.
I am not in preschool today.
I know. And I'm glad. I have to tell this to the internet world. I'm so glad to be playing a part that's not a mother. I've played enough mothers. Well, not you, all mothers. You know what I mean?
You have, like, seriously, you have taken this part and just run with it. Like, that's what we're always hoping we're going to do is... We cast people we think are going to be able to, like, because, you know, the Tinkers, some of them, they don't have a lot of lines. Mm-hmm. But, like, you have really made this into a really great part. So, really good job with that. Was anything kind of inspiring to you? Like, was there anything that kind of made you just make these decisions about your character?
Well, you guys told me that it would be a good idea for me to have a crush on Bottom. And I think that's the best thing, because that gives my eyes something to do. I mean, I literally look at him the entire time. I'm in love with you. On stage, I'm like, I love you. How I love you. How I dote on you. I'm writing in my little script book. Starling and Bottom. T-L-A. No,
that's awesome.
It's fun. I feel like I'm 12 years old.
Well, I mean, it looks awesome. You know? Like, during 5-1, when you're hovering over him with the moon, I mean, it's just, it's really cute.
And I'm worried about him, because he does the thing with the sword.
Yeah, but
it reads.
It really
totally
it
reads.
Does. and it makes so much sense. Like, we were talking to Jim earlier, and you guys have created, like, a little...
Oh, yes, he hates me, yeah.
You know, but you've got the whole, like... little community of tinkers, and you're all like a little cohesive unit, and it all makes sense, and you all, it's just, I'm so pleased.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is when Jim pushes me out of the way with his hand on my face. Which at first Thomas was like, don't put your hand on her face, and I'm like, no, I want him to, because he asked me if it'd be okay.
And I'm glad he asked you.
Fun.
Yeah. It always gets a laugh.
Always get a laugh.
Anything for a laugh.
Yeah.
That's true.
You guys are getting a lot of laughs. So
yeah, that's good.
How did this whole, like, Tinker Unity, how did this form? Because it's like, we were kind of not really there for, like, the formation of it.
I think it's just by the nature of us sitting back in our little area, which is now called Tinkertown. I don't know if anybody else has mentioned Tinkertown, but that's a great world. We're just there waiting so long together. And I think because we did the rehearsals together, we just naturally kind of fall together. And, you know, we have one teenager in our group, but for the most part, we're adults and in the working world and stuff like that. So we can bond like that, like the lovers. There are two are teens and two are adults, right?
Yeah, that's how it is.
And just
Sean
Calvin.
Sean's still in college, so...
Right, yeah. It's just a little
But they're fun. Younger. They're all a little bit younger.
Jessica's a teen brarian. So.
Right. She's a teen brarian.
She is. Yeah. A teen brarian.
So she's used to it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. How has it been being, because your daughter Olivia, who we talked to earlier.
Oh, yes.
Is in the show too. Has that been like a bonding experience for you guys being in the show together, or have you really talked about it?
We haven't really talked about it. We've been in shows before. We were in Christmas Carol before. Actually, it's unlike being in the show with Olivia, and it's Shakespeare, and she's really good at Shakespeare, so that was fun for me to try out with her. I didn't know if I would get a part, but I felt fairly sure she would get a part, because I think she's great. Anyway,
Not that you're biased.
I'm a drama mama. But anyway, she's a teenager too, though, and so... Like, just today, we kind of had a little spat before the show, so. I feel like, yeah, we're a dream couple. We're a dream mom and daughter. You know, we're dramatic. Our whole family is dramatic, so.
That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for your younger daughter.
It never stops.
Who's taking the time off.
She's taking time off from theater. But she's dramatic, nonetheless. I mean, she's really, woo. Yeah. And our middle daughter's a comedian. Mm-hmm. She's a natural comedian. Everything she does is funny. She's addicted to anything funny. Any funny YouTube, any funny lolcat. She wants to watch Family Guy all the time, which usually I think, okay, she's upstairs, I'm going to put Family Guy on. She crawls out in the dark and sees the show from upstairs. I find this out, you know, a couple days later. Oh, yeah, I like that episode. That's the episode where blah, blah, blah happens. And I'm like, you were supposed to be asleep when that was on, so.
I used to do that, too.
Mm-hmm. I did, too.
So, aside from your ninja prop, what in particular have you enjoyed about the show?
Oh, I enjoy everything about it. It's the first Shakespeare I've ever done. So I really love it. And I love the first scene. At first I thought, oh, that's going to be awkward. I have to pretend to measure. But it gets my energy up, and I'm glad that I have something to do. And to show what my seamstress abilities or my tailor abilities, you know, my tailor. And it gets my energy up, and, you know. You're right. The parts that don't have so many lines, you still have a lot to do. And that used to be a big challenge for me, and props are a challenge to me, and here I am with all these props.
I think you have more props than anybody else.
Yeah, so it's weird.
But you know, we kind of brought it down a little bit since we put the two props on one stage.
Yeah.
Give it a little easier.
Yeah, and I love my dog. I have to tell you, the dog is a good dog. He's a sweet dog. I think he had a little bit of animal abuse.
Do I have to fix him again?
His neck has a little... There's still some fluff coming out of his
neck.
Oh,
okay, I'll check it.
But I feel like I'm one of those people that rescued a dog. But then, of course, well, I'm dragging him around after I bought him. So I hope I don't make his neck any worse. I don't know what I'm doing.
Stuffed dog, for the record.
This is on the internet.
A rat. PETA, put the phone down.
I think my dog should be a mall dog.
It should be.
We gotta come up with something.
We should come up with something for your dog.
Poor thing. I can't think of anything funny.
We'll workshop it and we'll bring it back. we'll workshop that.
Okay.
So just to finish up, mm-hmm. like, what's something you'll take away from this experience? Like, is there anything that you think you'll take on other shows or back to us?
Yes. I always take something from shows, and this one I will definitely... take the freedom of expressing myself without dialogue, almost like being clownish, because I'm a clown. The players are basically clowns, so I'll take that away. Just the experience of, I know I don't really do any pentameter or anything like that. I just kind of, you know, the players don't really do that. But I really am happy that I was in a Shakespeare show. I'm gonna try for another one. I don't know which one, but. You know.
We are doing R&J in the fall.
No, you're doing R&J. I don't know what part I could
just
do. I want to be Mercutio. Anyway. Mercutio.
Yeah,
I see Queen Mab hath visited you. See, I mean, you don't know what you started on this thing.
We're going to hook you up with a recorder and just let you go at it.
I like Mercutio. He's my favorite.
I am Sierra Dubois, Cece, and I am performing the part of Puck. And this is my first show with the North Fulton Club, Drama Club, so it's very much exciting. So.
And how did you come to us?
Well, I actually remember the day on the bus, Julia came, and she was like, oh, I went to the auditions and stuff, and she's like, you must go, and I was like, I'm not prepared, I don't have a monologue. She says, you don't need a monologue, and I was like, well, okay, I'll see what I can do. So I came down, and on my way coming, I thought of a monologue that I had done for Tempest that I had been in a year prior. So I was the part of Caliban, or I was the understudy for Caliban, but my actress had gotten sick, so I did know the monologue, so I did the one, and then I was called back, much to my surprise, and I came back, and I actually thought we were going to do another read-through, but actually they just called up upstairs and they cast the show that night, and I was like, wow. So it was all.
We
casted.
Often know what we want. We're like, yes,
so
check.
That was probably the fastest audition process I've ever gone through. So,
well, that's good because it seems interminable to us.
Yeah.
So yes,
So have you done any theater outside of school?
I had. I had done, I actually started theater beginning of freshman year. I did a piece called The Red Shoes, and actually I was not in the drama department yet. I was still very much part of orchestra, played double bass, so it was really just a musical gig. I did a little bit of acting. I got up and I did a little dancing, and I had a bit part, but I mean, I was mainly in the pit. The first play where I had an actual speaking, acting, not musical part, was we had these directing labs in school. And I was part of that, and it was the first time I'd performed in front of an audience when I actually had to speak lines and do something that was dramatic. I had a non-magnet drama class that year, and I remember Mr. Young asking me if I wanted to be in the magnet, because if I did, they'd love to have me. And so I was becoming more frustrated with orchestra and whatnot. So come sophomore year, I started out in the drama magnet. And of course, that opened up a whole new route of opportunities. Actually, during freshman year, though, I got kind of a taste of what the school theater program was like. They had auditions, and auditions are open. You don't have to be in the magnet. And they did Tempest. And we all auditioned, and me, a freshman. It was the first time I'd auditioned for something where it was a whole bunch of people. And I got the understudy Caliban, as I mentioned previously. For a first acting role, it was actually quite demanding because the main actor, she fell ill. She actually fell ill day before the opening night.
Oh my gosh.
So it was quite, and everybody was getting ill. I remember, I think maybe 6 people out of a cast of like 20 didn't miss anything. So it was, a bunch of people were getting ill. So it wasn't totally out of the blue, but it was one of the very first acting roles I'd had in my very first Shakespeare play. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I was a freshman, it was the first school show, and I was like, I'm gonna screw it up. And everybody said it was awesome. So I was like, okay, well, that went well. And she came back halfway through the run, so I did 5 shows, and she did the last 5 shows. So, and she was, I felt really bad for her, actually, because she was working, and she was a senior, and it was gonna be her last show at the school, and she did such a good job, and then she couldn't be there. And I was like, well, okay. But I think it did give me a good experience of actually being on the stage. And the fact that it was a Shakespeare show, I really enjoyed that. Because, I don't know, there's something about the language that you can't do with other plays. Or at least not with many other plays, I'll put it that way. And I know, I just love the experience. And as one of my major first introductions to theater, I guess, it really got me into this, to pursue it further. So having been in my second Shakespeare show, it really is nice to look back on Tempest and compare it with this, and it's really nice. And
so yes, we cast you in a part that's kind of similar,
yes,
to Caliban. You know, Puck has very similarities. You know, they're both non-human parts. Like, did you stress at all about differentiating the parts, or did you, like, was it always very clear, like, the Puck was one way and Caliban was another to you?
To me, in my mind, at least the way I interpret the plays, is I think they're very distinct. In fact, I would compare Puck more with Ariel from The Tempest rather than with Caliban. Mm-hmm. So I found them to be very, distinct in my mind. I remember maybe it was one of you guys, I forget. But you guys actually wanted to take me more in the direction that Puck was more dangerous, more than such just this kind of fairy playful. I mean, he is playful, but he also has this very dangerous, you guys said, a Caliban-like element. So I tried to at least incorporate the aspect of danger and almost kind of a magic. Well, of course, Puck is magic, but I mean, I almost feel Caliban has a kind of magic to him, especially. I feel like he's almost a part of this island. He's of the island. So I tried to bring, I guess, that kind of nature, this kind of earth element to Puck that, I guess I may not have done before, or at least not have thought about doing. So I guess in that way it kind of influenced the fact that I did do Caliban previously, but I do see them as very two distinct roles that require very different, the ways of playing them. So.
Cool. Was there anything that kind of helped you, like, did it help having another strong actor to play against? Like,
oh, yes.
You and Larry Jr., who we'll talk to at some point, is playing our Oberon, and you guys are together a lot in your scenes. Like, was that helpful to you?
It was very much helpful. I don't know what I would have done without a good Oberon. I mean, I find myself playing off a lot of what he does. Sometimes the way he'll play something will affect the way I play something. Actually, in the show we just passed it, there's a line he has, and he goes illusion, and he does something with his hands, and I said, well, you know what, something I never thought about before. I'm going to mock him doing that, and it worked really well. And he also has the moments when we have to be really serious. There's one part where he tries to choke me, and I have to, be choked. And I take...
Normally I would, it seems like kind of a hard thing to do, but he has just so much energy and so much, I don't know, vibe that I take what he has and I just play off it, and I think it works really well. I mean, I can't see it obviously, but at least when I'm up there on the stage playing it, acting it, it feels right to use his energy. I mean, of course, I have to have my own energy. I can't be relying off of Oberon, but it's nice to have him there, especially being a kind of a younger actor. It's nice to have someone who's older, who's experienced, who is, you know, done this stuff plenty of times.
He's a pro.
Yes, to support me while I'm up there, so.
Yeah. So what has been your favorite thing about this show in particular?
Well, I like how we do it outside. You would think it's kind of scary, and you have to worry about rain, you have to worry about, you know, there's no stage, so you, I mean, there is a stage, but there's no stage with a, you know, with seats in an auditorium in a house. But I actually kind of like it better outside. I liked how when you guys did the show, you didn't do strict blocking. I mean, of course, you had general block. You can't just go anywhere. But it's not like a, you know, extremely strict. You have some leeway. And I actually really like the way you guys did that about the show, because it does give the actors a little bit of flexibility. For some scenes, I know, for example, the scene where I go and I scare the Tinkers. I turn Bottom into an ass. Each night I do something a little different, and I, you know, in another show, another director might have blocked it, so I had to do the same thing every night, which is nothing wrong with that, you know. Consistency is always good, but the way you guys have done it has given me leeway to do it almost differently every single night, and for the most part I have done it a little bit differently every night. Whatever comes to my mind, I just kind of do it. I do have some things that I kind of do over and over again if I can't think of anything, but also a lot of the times, depending if I get the energy from the audience, of energy from the Tinkers, and just thinking about what I can do, I'll think of things I'd never thought in my head even during the rehearsal process, and I like it because it feels so, it's so authentic, and that's one of the things I like about theater as opposed to, say, film acting, is that it's different every time, and you have an audience to play off of, you have, it's there, it's real, and it's so unique. It's not stuck in stone like film is, and I do love that about theater.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was we gave all of the fairies fairly extreme costume, hair, makeup, all of that.
Well, I try to always be sure I can do the character even if, you know, I'm not in the clothes, so I don't have to rely on the clothes, but or, you know, the makeup or any of the additional things. But, I mean, it certainly helps to have that aspect. In fact, one of the things that I think that not helped me most, but, I mean, put me, I guess, in character most, or I thought was most interesting, was the shoes. I don't know, the shoes just, I feel more like I can do more in the shoes than I can do in my regular shoes. I'm not sure why. I guess it's just because they're in the karate shoes. You feel like you can, you know, kick ass or something. I'm not sure.
Do karate.
And they're shiny karate,
yes,
shoes now.
Yes, they're very shiny. So
like Keanu Reeves. I know kung fu.
So I remember the night you guys got the shoes and I would put them on just to make sure they fit and everything. I felt like, oh, this is new. This is different. And of course, it started coming together. The jacket came.
The 11 incarnations of the jacket.
And one thing I like that you guys do, that I haven't had a whole bunch of experience in theater, but from the few I've had, you guys mostly, I mean, you get adventurous things, I know, but you mostly make a lot of these costumes, and I think just the dedication and the time and effort you put into this is, it shows on stage, you know. I mean, it would have been a lot different if you guys had just gone out, I don't know, to Target or something and bought some fairy costumes. I mean, it would have been a lot easier, yes, but I mean, it would not be what it is now, and I do like the fact that you guys do take that time to think about what are these costumes going to look like, and not only do you just make them, but you make them make sense. For example, Oberon and I, we have, you guys have given us a fire kind of theme, and our costume colors are actually inverted. I have a red jacket with beige gold pants. He has a gold kimono robe with red pants, and the fairies, they have an ice theme. And there's Titania, and then there's all the little fairies, and they all look a little bit different, but similar enough so you can be like, oh, they're the same element. And I do like the fact that you guys just don't go and say, oh, we need some costumes, let's go get them. You think about what the costume's supposed to mean, how they're supposed to look, how they need to emphasize the internal structure of the play, but still look nice and not distract, but be enough to give it what it needs. I'm focusing on the fairy costumes, but I mean, there's other costumes. There's the wedding dresses for the women, the noble women. There's the, and it's set in the 70s. So, I mean, you have to think of how do you adapt Shakespeare to the 70s? You know, if Aegeus was living in the 70s, what would he have worn? You know, there's no more noble people in the 70s. So, I mean, I think that's also a challenge you have to overcome. And I think you guys have done a very good job with
giving it a different feel than a traditional Shakespeare play, but still making it so that people who know and love Midsummer will still recognize it for what it is. So,
thank you.
With regards to the costumes for that.
Thanks.
Yes.
That's our goal. I'm glad you feel we succeeded. That's what we were going for.
Oh, good.
Indeed. Well, awesome.
All right, so last final question. What is one thing, like, if anything, if you're good, that you will take away from your experience with us in this show?
Well, like I said, it's only my second Shakespeare play. But, I mean, having done another one, Tempest, and this one, I found that I really like this stuff. And I especially like how you guys do it, because you'll take it and you'll make it something that it's not, you know, the traditional Shakespeare. It's not the, oh, look, we are sitting and speaking this beautiful poetry. I mean, it takes in its dynamic, and it... for example, one of my favorite actors to watch, or a pair of actors, I should say, to watch, is Zip and Sarah and their interactions. And one of the things I love about it is that it's, when you're watching them, if you didn't know it was Shakespeare, you might not even guess it was Shakespeare, because they take it and they make it so alive. They make it so here and immediate. You wouldn't believe these words are 400 years old watching them, but they are. And that's one of the things I love about what we do, is we take so many different people, we put them together. You know, we have high schoolers here, we have people who, you know, have day jobs and who, you know, so I think the way you guys recruit from so many different areas and so from many different life experiences and throw them all together in this guise of Shakespeare is, it brings it something that other people who do Shakespeare, even people who typically do Shakespeare all the time, will have a hard time bringing to it. So yes.
Well, thanks.
So I would love to continue with Shakespeare. It's given me a love of the play and shown me that it can be done without having it to be the standard poetry set in stone. Look, we're doing Shakespeare. And I would love to do more and more Shakespeare in the future.
Well, good.
So we have more plays.
It's the theme of the evening. We're doing another show soon.
So yes.
So yeah.
Well, I'm very glad to have been part of the production.
We were very glad to have you.
Yes.
Indeed. Quite glad.
I don't know anyone else who we could have...
It always turns out that way, though.
I know.
We end up with people cast, and we're like, you know, I don't know who else would have done this. Maybe at the time, I was thinking of someone else, but now I can't imagine it any other way. So
sure. I can't imagine anyone else playing Puck.
Indeed.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
For more information on North Fulton Drama Club, including our show dates, audition dates, and how to get in touch with us, please visit www.northfultondramaclub.org.
Picture the two of us alone inside my golden submarine, while up above the waves my doomsday squad ignites the atmosphere, and all the fools who lead their foolish lives may find it quite explosive. Well, it won't mean half as much to me if I don't have you here. No, it isn't easy living here on Skull Crusher Mountain, so maybe you could cut me just a little slack. Would it kill you to be civil? I've been patient, I've been gracious, and this mountain is covered with wolves. Hear them howling, my hungry children. Maybe you should stay and have another drink and think about me and you.